All right, I want to praise the Lord on this February the 27th, Lord's Day Sunday morning, beautiful sun shining day outside. Lord's given us another day, and you know, I often think about this a lot. Everybody didn't get up this morning. A lot of people thought they'd be here today that aren't here today. They were given the opportunity to have eternal life. And whether they acted on that or not, I don't know. I just know God's hand stretched out all the day long. And I know that God commanded all men everywhere to repent. And He's long-suffering us. We're not willing Amen. That any perish. And whether everybody gets saved or not, I don't know. I know everybody can get saved. I know Jesus said, He that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise turn away, in John chapter 6, verse 37.
Right.
And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved.
Amen.
It's not a,
Amen.
You know, it's not really a hit and miss, but I will say this, you won't make it too far without faith.
No.
And the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Right.
And Israel, the Word didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says, we need faith today. And, you know, your faith will be tried.
Yes, it will.
The Bible says that we need to have the kind of faith that's like gold tried in the fire. You know, it just gets stronger, gets more pure. So we're going to start our Sunday school lesson this morning, Romans chapter 9. I think we finished verse number 8. We'll start it with prayer. And we're going to pray for those people over in Ukraine. And a lot of innocent people over there dying right now.
Yeah.
A lot of situations that going on over there right now that's life or death matters. And that's kind of like what the Bible talks about in Luke 21. Fearful sights. You see the bombs hitting the buildings. You see people in tanks running over people in cars. You see all kind of atrocities and things, you know, that are everything but the love of God. You see power being abused, and you know, it's, I don't know how it's going to come. I was telling Sister Vonnie, it looked to me like the Alamo. I mean, everybody died at the Alamo, but they were remembered for the fact that they stood their ground,
yes.
And they were severely outnumbered, and these people in Ukraine, they're severely outnumbered. So we're going to pray for them this morning. Father, we thank You for this beautiful day You've given us.
Yes, Father.
For the opportunity, Lord, You've given us to be in Your house, Lord, on this February the 27th, Lord's Day Sunday morning. Lord, pray, Lord, Father, for these people over in Ukraine, Lord. Little children, Lord, women, young men, old men, Lord, souls, Lord, that You died for. We pray for them, Lord, this morning. Pray somehow, Lord, that they could survive somehow, Lord, that they could make it through, Lord, this attack upon their country. And Lord, I pray for those that are attacking them, that they could have some kind of compassion, some kind of heart, and at least, Lord, consider what they're doing, Lord, is not right. I know, Lord, there is a time for war. I don't think this is one of them. But Lord, we pray, Father, Lord, for those people on both sides of the fence. It's almost like a civil war, brother against brother.
Yeah.
Lord, those are Russians that are attacking Russians. They all speak Russian. And Lord, the president over there, he's a Jewish man. We pray for him.
Yeah.
Pray for his family.
Yeah.
Pray, Lord, Father, that in mercy, Lord, You would somehow, Lord, bring this war to an end.
Yeah.
Somehow, Lord, have some kind of resolve to it. And Lord, there's people over here, Lord, they're in the same kind of battle. Lord, they're in war in their mind, in their heart.
Yeah.
Lord, they've got issues, Lord, that's getting out of hand. And Lord, You could help them if they'd come to You.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, You could make things right if they'd let You. And we pray, Lord, they'd raise a white flag of surrender, Lord, today. The old psalm used to say, I surrender all.
Amen.
Lord, I don't see much of it today, but I'd like to see, Lord, people let go and let God in their heart, Lord, and
yes, Lord.
Find that joy unspeakable, find that peace that passeth understanding. Oh, Lord, what a true song. I surrender all.
Yes.
All to Thee I surrender. Help, Lord, these, Lord, in the valley decision. Help these, Father, in the service today. These are listening online. We just want to give you praise and glory for whatever you do. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
We'll reread verse number 8. The remainder part here of Romans chapter number 9 can be summed up in the last two verses of this chapter. So I just want you to know that's where we're going in this lesson today. But Paul here talking to the church in Rome, he said, that is they which are children of the flesh. These are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. Now that was a promise from God. And he didn't move on that as fast as they wanted him to. And they decided they'd kind of help God out. And Sarah told her husband Abraham, said, you go into my Egyptian handmaid and I'll have a son by her. You know, we always try to help God out. But it made one of the biggest problems for Israel even today.
That's right.
And that's Ishmael. He's the father of the Muslims. And you know, he was that son that God didn't want to be born. He wasn't the promised son. The promised son was Isaac.
Right.
And there's been contention and wars ever since that Ishmael was born. And yet Abraham asked God to bless Ishmael, and God did bless Ishmael, but Isaac was the promised son. Verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah, that's Isaac's wife, also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Rebekah went to God and said, why am I thus? And God told her two nations were in her womb. And God told her that the elder would serve the younger. The process of election from God, the promise of that blessing was also from God. This Isaac, this promised son, God's already electing who's going to lead in his stead when he's gone.
Right.
Esau was born first and Jacob was born second. I kept trying to say Ishmael. It said, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, and notice this, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it's written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And one reason that God loved Jacob was because he had chosen him to take the place of his father Isaac. And I've heard a lot of preaching along this line about Jacob deceiving his father Isaac and getting the blessing of his brother instead of Esau getting the blessing. He got it through sublimity and through deception. But he done what his mother told him to do. His mother had already been told, Rebekah had already been told, that the elder would serve the younger. And even though Jacob didn't want to do what his mother told him to do, she said, it be on me, my son, it be on me, do all I say. And Jacob ended up getting the blessing. And like I said, even in this lesson right here, it's talking about that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. God had already made this choice for the children were ever even born, that the elder would serve the younger.
Yeah.
Verse 14, Paul says, what shall we say then? Is there therefore unrighteous with God? He said, God forbid.
Right.
And like I said, remember these last two verses are the key two verses in this whole chapter. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It's going to go real good with our message today. We are going to preach on that second half of the story of the prodigal son. We're going to preach about that Pharisee brother today. But you know, he thought that he had the right to be blessed. He thought he had, you know, a prestige over the one that left. But you know, that one that left, he repented.
Yeah.
And he said, I've sinned and I'm not worthy to be called his son. He done that which God... when I say that, let me read this. In Psalm chapter 51, David here, he's done wrong. He sinned and thought, you know, that it didn't apply to him, but he got caught up in it. But he sums up this prayer of Psalms chapter 51, and he says in verse 16, for thou desireth not sacrifice. You know, we want to go do some kind of deed to make, you know, things right. He said, thou desirest not sacrifice, of Psalms 51 verse 16. He said, else I'd give it. You know, it'd be easy just to offer up something for his sins. He says, thou delightest not in burnt offering. He said, I'll kill 1,000 calves to cover my sin.
That's right.
And you know, that's a convenient thing for the sinner, but not for the calf. But he says in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. The day that I got saved, I want you to know I had a broken spirit.
Yes.
I had a broken and a contrite heart, and God didn't turn me away. He accepted my repentance. He accepted my request for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And you know, God looking for people, you know, that are sorry for their sins. I'm sorry, but I'm also sorry for my sins. And I got accepted on those merits. And this lesson here, he's talking about, but of God that showeth mercy there. He said in verse 15, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Uh-huh.
And God, he said, it's God that shows mercy. Verse 17, for even the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. You know, Pharaoh was in great power. And like most pharaohs, he probably thought it was his own doing, you know, that he was above everybody else, that he's born for this purpose to be Pharaoh in Egypt. And when Moses and Aaron come to Pharaoh and said, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Right. He thought he didn't have to obey anybody because in the position he was in a position of power and great wealth. And you know, God here, just kind of telling behind the scenes here, even for this same purpose, God raised Pharaoh up that he might show his great power. He said that I might show my power in thee and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Bob Malkin called me as I got home Sunday night, and he was asking me if I'd heard about those chariot wheels that they found in the Red Sea. Of course, him being an Orthodox Jew, a saved Orthodox Jew,
yeah.
He said, ain't that something? I said, yeah. I said, God, he talked about, you notice God took those wheels off? And I said, yeah. And he said, and they went and they found them right there at the bottom of the Red Sea. I mean, they got videos on this stuff and everything. But, you know, the world, they don't get excited about that. But Bob, he got excited about that. I got excited about it.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, wonderful that there's enough evidence of what I've got before my eyes being the Word of God. And, you know, Paul told King Agrippa there in Acts chapter number 26, he said, this thing wasn't done in no corner, buddy.
No.
It wasn't like, you know, You know, CNN, they could have been there if they wanted to. But when Paul was trying to witness to King Agrippa, he said in Acts chapter 26, verse 26, he said this thing wasn't done in the corner. God put His Son on display before the whole world. They got to examine Him.
Yes, He did.
They got to accuse Him. They got to crucify Him. And then they got to see Him resurrected. And you know, even today they're in denial of all of the obvious truths and facts about Jesus. But God, He just winks at that ignorance and commands men everywhere to repent there in Acts chapter 17. But God even raised up Pharaoh, as powerful as Pharaoh was. And, you know, he was powerful. But he wasn't more powerful than God. And God showed him who was greater than him.
Yes.
And God made a name for himself through this very one that God raised up called Pharaoh. In verse 18, he says, "Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth." You know, Pharaoh, the Bible talks about Pharaoh hardened his heart, and later on it said God hardened his heart.
Yeah.
And you know, Pharaoh was in over his head. Might be a whole lot of Vladimir Putin right now.
Yeah.
He'd been better off to have not moved on Ukraine.
True.
Now that he has, there's no way he can save face. His own people have raised up against him.
Yeah.
And condemned him for doing what he's doing. There was no reason other than greed, I guess. I mean, I don't really know the whole story myself. But there was no reason for him doing what he's doing. And, you know, so far everything he's done hadn't worked. These people are willing to fight. And I don't guess they've got any other choice but to fight. But here in this situation, Putin, he can't afford to lose. And he can't afford to win. I don't know how it's going to go with him. But the Lord, whom He will, He'll have mercy. And whom He will, He'll harden. Verse 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doeth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Verse 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? You got people today that they don't, you know, Job, he never charged God foolishly.
No, that's right.
And you know what? Even God said that Job retained his integrity.
Yes, he did.
His wife come up and confronted him and said, "Doest thou still retain thine integrity?" She said, "Curse God die."
Right.
You know, there's not much integrity today, especially in Washington. But, you know, God noticed that Job had integrity. And would to God there was more of it today. But people don't think twice about blaming God for anything. They don't think twice about denying and ignoring you know, being atheist, being agnostic. Brother Ed just shared me a testimony of a man that was an atheist.
Yeah.
And a man was smart, sent him some tapes of the Bible on tape. And he didn't put any value on those tapes till his life started falling apart after his wife left him.
Yeah.
He had nothing but the tapes and finally opened up one, put it in and played it. And you know that word, it don't return void. It prospered the thing it's sent to do.
Right.
It come down on him hard. He ended up getting saved. But people, they'll blame God. They'll charge God foolishly. And boy, that's going to be a big mistake. It'd be a payday someday.
That's right.
Verse 20 said, "Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?" You ever heard this statement? "I was born this way."
Yeah.
And you know, that's just an excuse to deny the truth. When they say, "I'm born this way," I want to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7.
Blessing God.
And I want you to notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 when people say, "I was born this way." Mm-hmm. The last verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Solomon, the wisest man that I guess that ever lived on earth,
yeah,
apart from Jesus,
yeah,
he said, "God hath made man upright." Mm-hmm. Man never did walk on all fours.
No.
There never was evolution.
Good morning, John.
But also, He said, but they have sought out many inventions to try to get people to believe a lie. And in this right here, you got people arguing with God. Why? And you know the Bible's pretty thorough. I have to admit, I got saved, I was 34 years old. Now, I've been looking in my mirror for 34 years, and you know, I was kind of like the find. I thought it looked all right, didn't have to touch nothing. But I got to look at myself in the mirror of God's Word, and I saw, boy, my sad condition. I saw how far from where I was, from where I needed to be. And it wasn't no overnight journey neither. I'm still on that journey trying to be like my Savior, perfect and upright. And you know, it's a daily challenge, especially in the hour we're living in right now, when there are so many devices and so many temptations and opportunities. I'm telling you, buddy, they don't call it the internet for nothing. You can get caught up in the internet. And these cell phones, I kind of made a joke out of that. I mean, my cell number's right here. I got a number to my cell. You better be careful. I'm telling you, it'll end up being a prison. And people, they get ensnared on the internet. They get ensnared on Facebook and MySpace and I don't know. They got so much stuff out there now, it's hard to navigate the waters. But we need the Lord's help. And that's why we don't need to be arguing with God about how we are. We need to be asking God. You know, I've asked the Lord to make me what He wants me to be. I've been a burden for 34 years. I'm striving to be a blessing now. And I asked the Lord to mold this clay, make it whatever He would have it to be. And verse 21 says, "Hath not the potter," and He is the potter, "power over the clay to make the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show His wrath, to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory?"
Yeah.
Now, God, I'm glad God's not like me.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, I don't know how anybody would make it to heaven if God was like me.
Mm-mm.
But God, He in pity remembers my frame that I'm but dust. As a father pity these children, He has mercy on me. And you know what? He looks beyond my faults and looks at my needs. And you know, He never gives up. He keeps reaching out and never forsakes me. I get in the dumps. I get the you know, down in the mully grubs down there. And you know what? He gets me out and cleans me up and gets me going again.
Yeah.
But you know, He's got power over the clay. And I do want to be a vessel of honor. I don't desire to be a vessel of dishonor. And I keep that in my mind all the time. It's just one step away.
Amen.
One decision can make a difference, good or bad.
That's right.
You know, David, he just made one decision. Next thing you know, an innocent man's dead.
Yeah.
And David's took his wife to be his wife. Uriah the Hittite died. And Bathsheba became David's wife, but God didn't like it.
No.
And God confronted him about it, and he realized, buddy, he wasn't above God. But you know, you're just one step away from being a vessel of honor or being a vessel of dishonor. Verse 24, "Even us whom He have called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as He saith also in OCs." Anybody got any idea what that is? That's Hosea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. "I will call them My people, which were not My people, and her beloved, which was not beloved." And that particular one there is Hosea chapter 2, verse 23. Let me see if I can... I mean, that's a hard book to find. Thank God for Thumb Index.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hosea, I'll read it for you here. Hosea chapter 2, verse 23. And God here speaking through the prophet Hosea. And he says, and I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say unto them which are not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. And that's Hosea chapter 2, verse 23. And it says, and in the, it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. You can find that in Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. He says here, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Paul here, as he's addressing the church in Rome, he's drawing from the book of Hosea there in verse 25 and 26. Verse 27, he said, Isaiah, which is Elijah, or Isaiah, also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. And you find that in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 22 and 23. And like I said, he's using the Old Testament to teach New Testament truths. I hear people all the time say the Old Testament ain't important, but it is. Most of the New Testament is just the Old Testament revealed.
That's it.
But in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 22 and 23, and though thy people Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness, for the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption even determined in the midst of all the land. And Paul here, he's drawing from two books as he's writing this epistle to the book of church in Rome. And he says, verse 28, for he will finish the work and cut it short, for in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now this is kind of tribulation. Here it says, except those days be shortened, there be no flesh saved there in Matthew chapter 24.
Yeah.
And the Lord shortens those days. Verse 22 of Matthew 24, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Mm-hmm. And Lord, he's going to make a short work in that tribulation for Israel's sake. The tribulation of 7 years, right now there can't be no tribulation. I know we got tribulation, I understand that. Jesus said in the world we'd have tribulation, but it's not great tribulation.
No.
And the reason it's not great tribulation is because we're light. And light dispels darkness. That prince of darkness can't come on the scene till we're out of the way. We're holding back this great tribulation. And another reason we're not going to go through the great tribulation is because Christ in us. He's done been crucified once. He's done been through tribulation once. I mean, but I'm telling you, he was delivered in the hand of sinners once. But that's another reason we're not going to go through great tribulation. But also, if you really want to know, it's the stone reason we're not going to go through the great tribulation. Well, then read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9.
Right.
And you can read it pretty plain right there.
Great tribulation won't start until after Revelation chapter 4.
It's actually called time of Jacob's trouble.
Yes.
1 Thessalonians 5, 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation.
Amen.
By our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that great tribulation is going to be 7 years.
Yeah.
And every year is going to be a vial of the wrath of God poured out. I don't want to be here at all during that time. Yeah. I'm allergic to pain. Amen. I'd rather be in the joys of the Lord.
Amen.
Looking upon the beauty of the Lord, yeah. Seeing the great things that He has prepared,
yeah.
For those that love Him and look to His appearing. You know, I don't get marred up too much down here. I know it. It looks bad. I don't like politics. I especially don't like crooked politics.
No.
And I see a lot of stuff going on that I wish wasn't going on. But I do know the Bible talks about it's going to get worse and worse under the end. Mm-hmm. And I believe we're getting close,
yeah.
To getting ready to get out of here. I'm kind of like John, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'm ready to get on out. Amen.
Amen.
Right. But he said, verse 29, and Elias said, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left unto us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. God completely destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, we've become like Sodom and Gomorrah in the hour we're living in right now.
Yeah.
It's being taught in our schools. It's being accepted in churches. That don't make it right. But you know what God said about Sodom and Gomorrah? I never want to forget this. He made them an example. In 2 Peter chapter 2... It talks about the judgment of God. And it said, God spared not the angels that sinned, in verse 4, cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment.
Yeah.
Spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, remember that word ungodly.
Yeah.
Verse 6, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them. I want you to get that. The reason they were turned to ashes is because God judged them.
Yes.
God condemned them.
Yes, He did.
With an overthrow. He didn't take poll. He didn't vote on it. Making them an ensample unto those that after the condemnation of Sodom and Gomorrah should live ungodly, and that's what they're doing today.
Yeah.
They're going after the sins of Sodom was sexual perversion. The cry of Sodom was little children being abused. I just saw this week a little girl sitting at a table with her mother and father, and they were sitting outside of a business at a table, and a man, even though it had a metal fence around it, jumped over the fence, grabbed the little girl before the father could even move, and as he was leaving with the little girl, a man that knew Kwon Do, or whatever you call it, knew jiu-jitsu, whatever, he grabbed this man. And he never did let him go. And one thing about that martial arts that he'd been trained in, it's trained on how to subdue someone. He never beat him. He just subdued him.
Yeah.
And he held him till the police arrived. That little girl got to be back into the arms of her mother and father. I'm just telling you, these are monsters. They're not
right.
Normal.
That's right.
They're doing unthinkable things,
yes, Lord.
To little children right now.
Yes.
The government is releasing them immediately. No charges, no bail. And even though God's word here says that He made Sodom and Gomorrah an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly and deliver. Now, we're like old Just Lot here. Y'all may not understand this, and delivered Just Lot.
Come on.
Vexed with the righteous, I'm vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, we don't have no choice where we're at.
No, that's right.
The Lord hadn't come yet, and they've done made this like Sodom and Gomorrah. That righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing. I don't like it. I don't like to see it. I don't like to hear it. They put it out there. They're indoctrinating the minds of our children. How'd that happen, Brother Little Levin?
Yeah,
Little Levin.
That's right.
That righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And you know what? Israel, they said if God hadn't helped them, they'd been made like Sodom and Gomorrah. I didn't realize that this sin of sodomy has reached Israel, but it has. I don't like it. But you know what? I have to also realize God loves them. He don't want them to go to hell. They may go, but He don't want them to go to hell. They're, one thing about it, they're full speed ahead, all aboard. But verse 30, what shall we say then that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness, that's old Brother Eddie right there, I didn't follow the right path. I'm telling you, buddy, I went AWOL early.
Yeah, that's right.
Have attained unto righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. To me, it's a modern day miracle that someone as wicked and ungodly and simple as I was could say that I'm now a child of God. I thank God for that mercy. Verse 31, but Israel which followed after the law of righteousness. Now, this is probably another important verse here. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. In other words, they were doing everything right, but they wasn't benefiting from it. Hebrews chapter 4, let's read verse 1, then verse 2. Let us therefore fear lest the promise of being left us of entering into His rest any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Let me see if I can remember where this other one is. I think it's Mark 10. I may not find this one. But in Mark 10, I believe it is, Jesus talked about the word didn't profit them. Let me see if I can find this. You see, the word, it didn't profit because it wasn't mixed with faith. It didn't profit these here, and I may not be able to find this, but I think it's in a Mark chapter 10. Be able to find it. It's obvious. Let me look at. Am I in 10? Yeah. Let me look in Luke 10. Maybe it's, I don't think it's Luke 10. I thought it was in Mark chapter 10. Talked about the word didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. And you see, you can tell somebody something all day long, but until they believe it, it don't do them no good. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained until the law of righteousness. Verse 32 says, wherefore, in other words, why didn't they obtain unto the law of righteousness? Because they sought it not by faith. You see, without faith, it's impossible to do what?
God.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, faith pleases God. The Bible said Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. I believe it's Romans chapter 4.
Right.
But you see, faith pleases God. And God looks for faith. And they didn't have no faith. They didn't seek it by faith, but they sought it by works of the law. In other words, like I'm going to be preaching today, they were pharisaical. They thought, I'm doing everything right. And, you know, I'll tell you right now, buddy, a lot of people fall into this category right here that their righteousness is of their works. And the Bible talks about not of works of righteousness. I know I can find that. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Verse 5, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And you know, they think because they do this or do that, that they're going, we're not. And you know what? By grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And Israel, that was a stumbling block to them. Verse 33, as it's written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. And I thought that might have a reference to Isaiah, but it don't. But, you know, they stumbled at Jesus. He didn't fit the criteria of what they was looking for, and they didn't think they needed Him. And they rejected Him. He came to His own. His own received Him not. And you know what they said? They said, we have no king but Caesar.
That's right.
That's pretty bad. Not only did they reject Him, but they also they said, Caesar's our king. And they ridiculed Jesus. And away with Him, away with Him. His blood be on us, on our children. They've been paying that price for centuries. But you see, this whole chapter here is about faith. The next one's even greater. And I'm not going to start in this next chapter because I want to try to keep it all together. But this next chapter here talks about how Israel, they miss it all. They miss the righteousness of God. They miss the message of God. They miss it all. But anybody got any questions or anything about Romans chapter 9 there? I think we went through 8 through 33. And you know, I didn't understand anything about salvation. I just understood that I was lost.
Right.
And somebody told me, they told me this as clear and plain as you can tell someone. They told me, they said, Eddie, Jesus loves you. They said, Eddie, Jesus wants to save you. He's just waiting for you to ask Him. He gave me the best illustration I ever heard in my life. He said, Eddie, if your little boy come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, what would you do? I said, I'd forgive him.
Amen.
He said, it's the same way with God.
Amen.
Go to him and tell him you're sorry. Amen. Now listen, I believed that that example he gave me. I believed that just like I would forgive my son, that God would forgive me. You see, I acted in faith on what was told me.
Yeah. Amen.
All right. And hallelujah, I didn't stumble at what was told me. You know, you tell a lot of people that, they say, yeah, real. Maybe in your world, not in mine. But you know what? It's as simple. The Bible talks about many have done harm to the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. It's simple enough that a little girl or a little boy could come and receive Jesus. That's why Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such the kingdom of heaven. I mean, we don't have no promise of tomorrow down here. We got promise of tomorrow up there.
Right.
But old brother Eddie, I heard my wife's car, it went belly up on me this week. And I already miss it. But it wasn't no easy. And I haven't got it fixed yet. But it's not going to be no easy fix to fix it. The water pump went out on it. And I've got one ordered. The reason I ordered one is because it's $300 here in town. And that wasn't even for everything. And I ordered everything I needed, even extra stuff, online for $72. You got like 800% markup. We shouldn't even put that on there. But you got to have enough sense, if you can fix the car yourself, to get the parts just like they do, get them online. And I'm not going to sell them.